Good morning. So here's the story. The person that was scheduled to present this morning had to be out of town. So in my sometimes misguided ambition, I spoke right up, saying, "Well, if you absolutely need someone, I can stand in for you." Thinking that he would object, actually hoping that he would object. But in his Brother Brown voice, he said, "Let's go with that." And I thought about that song that we sing, there's much to do, there's work on every hand, hark the cry for help come ringing through the land, Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be, what wilt thou, O Master, here am I, send me. But then I also thought about the story of the little boy who had a friend who was being bullied by a really much larger boy. And he decided that he had had enough and he was going to step up for his friend and challenge the bully. Well, as things would go, he challenged the bully, and of course the bully made quick work of him. But his friend told him later, he said, "You know what, I admire your courage, but I question your judgment." But we're going to muddle through this morning, and God's going to be with me. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And hopefully we'll be able to share something this morning that will be of encouragement to all of us. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verses 1. And we're going to read down through verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. And the Bible reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. From this reading, we're going to talk on the subject, the challenge of faith and the reward of obedience. The challenge of faith and the reward of obedience. Now, the topic of the lesson today indicates two important realities. Number one, faith is often challenging. And number two, obedience is always rewarding. The topic also indicates that in order to reap the reward of obedience, we must endure the challenge of our faith. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This scripture indicates that the testing of our faith is designed to bring about a desired result. The reward of obedience does not come unless we're challenged in our faith. This scripture lets us know that the desired result to bring about patience is that which will ultimately lead to perfection. However, the unavoidable truth in this text is that the end result cannot be realized without our faith being challenged. Let's look also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. The Bible reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that's a beautiful scripture, because what it says to us is that, yes, our faith is going to be tried. But what it first tells us is that we've been chosen. As children of God, we've been chosen. We're the elect of God. We've been chosen. And as such, we have an inheritance waiting for us. Not only do we have an inheritance waiting for us, God is going to reserve, or he's going to keep or protect us so that we can get our hands on that inheritance. That's the beautiful thing. But the scripture also goes on to say, even though right now you may be going through some difficulties, you may be going through a challenge, that inheritance is waiting for you. But you're going through some challenges right now. But verse number 6 says, wherein we greatly rejoice. What are we happy about? What are we rejoicing about? We're rejoicing because right now we're going through some challenges. But it's a means to an end. We're going through some challenges because we know that we have an inheritance waiting for us. And we are being kept by God. We've been reserved by God so that we can get to that inheritance if we remain faithful. We're talking about the challenge of our faith and the reward of obedience. The reward of obedience comes about, as I mentioned, only as a result of our faith being challenged. Faith calls for sacrifice. Faith calls upon us to do that which we would otherwise deem unthinkable, if not for the presence of God in the equation. I'm going to say that again. Faith often calls for us to do that which we would otherwise think unthinkable, if it were not for the presence of God in the equation. There are things that God calls upon us to do that, from the human perspective, we would think that's impossible. But if we're not for the presence of God in the equation, it would be impossible. And that's the thing about faith. Faith calls for us to believe sometimes in the impossible. But God makes it possible because he's in the equation. He's a part of the program. And that's what we as Christians must always be mindful of and always realize, that the challenge of our faith always reaps rewards if we're obedient. Now let's look at the text in 1 Kings. In the beginning of the chapter, we have Elijah, the Bible talking about Elijah. And Elijah said unto King Ahab, and there's a backstory regarding King Ahab. King Ahab was a wicked king. And if you read the chapters before that, you'll find that just about all the kings before them were wicked. And the one king did worse than the one before him. And so Ahab was now king, and Elijah told Ahab, there won't be any rain falling on this land until I say so. So there's a drought in the land. So Elijah was told, God told Elijah, you go down and you dwell by the brook Cherith, because I'm going to keep you. I'm going to provide for you. Even though there's no rain in the land, I'm going to provide for you. You're my servant. So you go down and you dwell by the brook Cherith, and you drink of the brook, and I'm going to have the ravens to bring you meat in the morning and evening. And that's exactly what Elijah did. Now, Elijah had to exhibit great faith as well. Even though he was a man of God, he still had to exhibit great faith, because he was going at God's word down to the brook Cherith. He was following God's instructions, not knowing what he was going to encounter, only what God had told him. Now, it was necessary for him to have faith in God's word. He had to take God at his word and follow his instructions. So he did that. He went down to the brook Cherith, but over time, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And so God's now going to send him on a new direction. He says, now I want you to go down to Zarephath. And when you get to Zarephath, I have already commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Now, we're going to see something interesting about that particular statement that God made to Elijah. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So when Elijah gets to Zarephath, he sees this widow woman. She's out gathering sticks. So he says to her, can you bring me some water? Now, that was not a request that she could not honor. So she gladly proceeded to go get him some water. But as she's on her way to get him water, he says, oh, and by the way, can you bring me a cake to eat as well? Now, that's where she had to draw the line. And she very respectfully said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake for you. Let me explain to you my situation. We're always explaining our situation. Like, Lord, you don't know my plight. We're famous for that. You don't know my situation. So she decided to explain her situation to Elijah. She said to Elijah, Elijah, and I'm paraphrasing for theatrical license here. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have much at all. I'm a poor widow woman. So what I'm doing, what you see me doing out here gathering sticks, I'm here gathering sticks. Because what I'm about to do, I'm about to go and take what little food we have left, what little oil I have left in my cruse, I'm going to prepare a meal for me and my son. We're going to eat together, and then we're going to die together. Now, that's a sad testament from this widow woman. And I'm sure it tugged at the heart of Elijah. But what Elijah said, his next two words, are words that we see throughout Scripture. Elijah said, fear not. He said, fear not. Now, we've seen these words used throughout Scriptures so many times. You remember Jairus, when he came to Jesus, he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter. His daughter was sick unto death. And he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter. But Jesus, in the process of going, he was delayed, of course, by the woman with the issue of blood. He was delayed, and as a result of that delay, his daughter died while waiting to be healed. And Jairus' friends told him, he said, listen, your daughter is dead. No need to bother the Savior. But what did Jesus say to Jairus? He says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. You remember when the apostles were out on the water in the midst of the sea, and they were tossed to and fro. Now, they're out there because Jesus had instructed them to be there. They're out there. The winds are blowing. The waves are boisterous. And they're afraid for their lives. And then they see this figure come walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But what did Jesus say? Don't be afraid. It's I. It's me. Don't be afraid. And that's the same thing that Elijah said to this widow woman. He said to her, fear not. You go and do exactly what you said you were going to do. Go and prepare your meal. He said, but this is what you do. Bring me a cake first. You bring me a cake first, and then make for yourself and your son. Now, if this widow woman had been like some of us, unfortunately, she would have gone on to explain to Elijah again what she had already told him. Elijah, I said to you a minute ago, I do not have a cake for you. All I have is enough for me and my son to have our last meal together, and then we're going to die. That's what I have. So this request that you're making of me to make you a cake before I feed my family, and I don't have but enough for just me and my family, that's not going to work. But that's not what she did. She took Elijah at his word because she understood that his word was the word of God. Because Elijah said to her in verse number 13, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and for thy son. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She took Elijah at his word, because Elijah said, he invoked the word of God. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is not me speaking. This is not me making a promise to you. Because if it was just Elijah saying, hey, you know, if you make me a cake first, you're going to be all right. But Elijah said, thus saith the word of the Lord. Now, if we take God at his word, we can never fail. Now, this was the challenge of that widow woman's faith. She had to trust that what Elijah was saying would actually come to pass. So she did what Elijah asked her to do. She went, verse number 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. She obeyed the voice of the prophet, because he invoked the word of God. That was the challenge of her faith. But the reward of her obedience was that she and her entire household did eat many days. They were sustained because she followed the voice of the prophet. But then something else happened. In verse number 17, now she had already seen that miracle. But in verse 17, something else happened. Her son became sick, and he ultimately died. Now, why was this particularly problematic for this widow woman? Well, number one, she was a widow. And number two, she had a man-child. She had a son. So the hope was that her son would grow up and be able to take care of her in her old age. But now, her son has died. So that cuts off that provision as far as she's concerned. That eliminates that provision for her. So she says to Elijah, why have you come here? Apparently there was something that this woman had done. There was some sin that the Bible doesn't tell us about. She said, have you come here to remind me of my sin and bring strife in my home because of my sin? But what had Elijah already done? He had already shown her a miracle. So here again is another challenge of her faith. So Elijah says, give your son to me, give him to me. Now that's reassuring. That should have been reassuring to that lady, because she had already seen what Elijah had done, because she understood that he was a man of God. But this was a different situation. Now my son is dead. It's one thing to talk about providing some food for me. Now I've lost my child. And you say, bring my son to you. But as obedient as she was in the first challenge, she was equally as obedient in this challenge. She brought her son to Elijah. Elijah took him, and to make a long story short, he raised him from the dead. And if you look at verse number 24, the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. That was the challenge of her faith. But the reward of her obedience was, number one, in the first instance, she didn't run out of food. In the second instance, the reward of her obedience was that her son was brought back to life. She trusted the voice of God. And we see many examples in the scripture where individuals were challenged in their faith. Abraham and his wife Sarah were promised a son. And Abraham was so told that he was going to be the father of many nations. Now, they didn't believe that it was possible at first. Sarah even laughed when the prophet told Abraham that you're going to have a son. She laughed. She didn't believe it. But over the course of time, God did bless them with a son. Now, can you imagine the joy that they had looking at that bouncing baby boy, Isaac, and watching him grow up to a nice young man? And then for God to then say, Abraham, take your son, not just your son, but your only son, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine the heartbreak that he must have felt, that his mother must have felt? Here's the child that you blessed me with in my old age. If Abraham was like us, he would have made all manner of argument. Lord, what do you mean? You told me I'm going to be the father of many nations. Now you're taking my child away. It took so much for us to believe that we were even going to have this child. And we watched him grow up. He's a fine young man. Now you're telling me to take his life? That's not what Abraham did. What Abraham did was he proceeded to go forth. He gathered up the items for the sacrifice. And one of the other heartbreaking points in that story is when his son Isaac asked him, he said, you know, Dad, I see all of the items here for the sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham's response to his son was, God will provide. God will provide. And so can you imagine the feeling that Abraham had when he laid his son out on that altar? Prepared the altar and then laid his son down, strapped him down. There's no indication in the scripture that Isaac put up a fight. But he laid him down. He was being obedient to his father. Can you imagine Abraham raising the knife, looking down at his son who he had prayed for, looking down at his son, I'm about to drive this stake into my son and take his life, only for God to, at that point, stay his hand. He said, wait a minute, Abraham. He says, now I know. Now I know that you trust me. Sometimes God has to take us right to the edge, to see just where we are in our faith. The challenge of our faith sometimes is very emotional. It's very overbearing at times. Sometimes God has to take us right there, right to the edge, right before we fall off, before he says, "Now I know. Now I know that you trust me." And sometimes that's what it takes for us to really demonstrate our trust in God. We have to go a little further, a little further, a little further. God, you going to step in here? A little further, right to the edge, before God says, "Okay, now I know. I know now that I can trust you. You've shown that you trust me. Now I know by your actions that I can trust you." And so Abraham looked up, and there in the bush, there was a ram. All of those things, all of those chain of events, that was all orchestrated by God. That ram in the bush was not there by accident. That ram was there because God knew I needed that ram to be there. That's going to be my sacrifice. Not Isaac. But I just need to know, Abraham, I need to know that he trusts me. But we see examples of that throughout Scripture, where individuals have exhibited a great amount of faith. But along with that great challenge of faith, there was always a reward of obedience. Matthew Henry's commentary, there's a sentence there that I thought was very interesting. He says, "Happy are all who can thus, against hope, believe and obey in hope." Happy are all who can thus, against hope, believe and obey in hope. So what is he saying? For those who can believe, that's Hebrews 11:1. That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those who can believe against hope, who can believe against what seems to be reality. The reality suggests that for this widow woman, "I don't have anything to give you, Elijah." That's the reality. "But I'm going to operate and believe in hope. I hope that what you're saying to me is actually going to come to pass. I'm operating against hope, but I'm believing in hope." And that's what we must do as Christians. As God's people, our faith is going to be challenged over and over and over again. Because the Bible says that the trying of our faith worketh patience. So God is always going to allow our faith to be challenged as long as we're living down here on this earth. But we have to be mindful at all times that when our faith is challenged, God is working something out in our lives. There's something that God wants to do and wants to work out in our lives. We can't be resistant to God's challenges. Because had this woman decided, "Elijah, I know what you're saying. It makes sense. It might be true. But I have to look out for me and my family. So I'm afraid that I can't make a meal for you." Well, the end result may have been that that would have been her last meal. And she and her son may very well have died. But because she did and operated based upon the word that Elijah gave her, she realized the reward of obedience. As Christians, think about your life. Think about your walk with the Lord. Think about where you are in Christ. Are you enduring the challenges of your faith? Now, our faith is challenged in many ways. It may not be something as severe as what we read about. Our faith can be challenged just in very simple things like being obedient to God's word, doing the things that God has instructed us to do as Christians. That's a challenge of our faith. it's a challenge of our faith because we have to believe that God means what he says. When he says, forsake not the assembling, he meant that. He didn't put that in there just for casual reading. That's an instruction that he has given to us that he expects us as his children to follow. So the challenge of our faith is, am I going to follow him? The reward of obedience is that God blesses us for being obedient to him. When he says, give as we prosper. When we rob God, we're failing the challenge of our faith. The reward of obedience, however, is that God will continue to sustain us and bless us beyond anything we could imagine. That's the reward of obedience. So think about your life this morning. Are you enduring those challenges of faith? Are you obedient to God's word? Are you taking God at his word and living your life in accordance with his will? Are you doing everything that God would have you to do? Are you conducting yourself in such a way that shows God, I have faith in your word, so I'm going to be obedient to your word? Is that the way we live our lives as Christians? If not, God has blessed us with this opportunity right now. We're here. God has blessed you to be here. All of us are still in our right frame of mind. So he's blessed us with another opportunity to get it right if we're not doing what he wants us to do. So you have that opportunity. And if you're here and you're not a member of the church that you can read about in the Bible, you know, I often hear ministers say that and I often wonder why. I know that it's Satan. I mean, that's the ultimate reason. But why are people so dedicated to something that they can't substantiate with Scripture? And when you think about it, if I can't read about the church that I am so dedicated to, if I can't substantiate any of that by Scripture, I can't reasonably think that I'm on solid ground if I claim that this is God's word, if I believe this is God's word, but I'm following something that I can't find in God's word, then what that really suggests is that you don't believe that this is God's word. So, but if you believe that this is God's word, and it is, the Bible only talks about one method of salvation. The Bible only talks about one church that Jesus promised to build. Only one. One body in Ephesians 4. And that body is the church of Christ. You can read that in Romans 16:16. And the way that an individual becomes a member of the church, you must first hear the word of God. You've done that this morning. You must hear it, and then you must believe what you have heard. And then, as a result of having heard and believed the word, it should bring you to a state of repentance, because you realize that based upon what I have heard and what I believe, I realize that I have not lived my life in accordance with God's will. And I'm sorry about that. That's called repentance. And you make up your mind that I'm no longer going to go my way. I'm not going to continue to go in the direction that I've been going. I'm going to turn and begin to follow God the way that he has outlined in his word. That's repentance. And then you acknowledge that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And you complete your act of obedience by being buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. God will add you to the church of Christ. That is the only church that we can read about in the Scriptures. The only one. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of, you know, how many friendships we have in other places, God only talks about the church of Christ. And if we intend to please God, it just makes sense to do it his way. You'll be a member of the church of Christ. All of your sins and all of the things that you've done that God's not pleased with, you'll get a new start. He's going to wipe all of that away. You're going to start over. You'll be brand new. And he's going to give you some help to do that. He's going to send you his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is designed to help us on a regular basis. Every day of our lives, the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do the right thing. That's a great deal if I ever heard one. He's going to save me. He's going to give me a new start. And he's going to help me to be obedient to him. I don't have to do this on my own. That's a blessing. And that's a blessing that you can enjoy right now if you come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of